All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is daf lamed. We're going to start on the bottom of daf chof tesamud beis. Says the Gemara, a lot of interesting Gemara today in Yirtz Hashem. So the Gemara says, "Yakla ha'ibim mikdash." So if you remember again, the Mishnah stated a principle. This is the klal. This is the principle that exists within the beis hamikdash. And the Mishnah proceeded to say that any time that the Kohen would relieve himself, would defecate, so there would be an obligation to go ahead and go into the mikvah. But whenever he would just simply urinate, there was an obligation of kiddush daim raglaim, sanctification of hands and feet. So says the Gemara, bishlam raglaim mishum tzotzos. So I understand the raglaim. I understand why it is that a person has to go ahead and do kiddush daim raglaim, actually wash off his feet. Because nitzotzos means droplets of urine. So that could either mean, again, in the event that he accidentally urinates on his feet, or that there's splash, it splashes back and it lands up on his feet. Eliyadayim maitaima. But why does the kohen have to wash his hands? Rabbi Abi Zos Omeris. This tells us, top of Lamed, mitzvah l'shafshev. This tells us, Rashi's gear says, mitzvah l'shafshev biyado. That it is a mitzvah, it's an obligation to go ahead and clean off the droplets with one's hand. Rashi says, mitzvah shavshek biyado, nitzotzos shel mei raglayim hanitzin al raglav. That if one has droplets of urine on his feet, one is obligated to go ahead and wipe them off with one's hand. Why? Shelo yetzei b'han chutz. But we will see this, Chazal had an incredible hakpada on not walking out with urine on one's shoes or one's feet for one reason. Benirik krush shavcha, because one could appear as a krush shavcha. Rabbi said, krush shavcha is a man who has a physical condition in which, again, he is unable to have the semen or urine exit out of his body with a flow, with a strong flow. Instead, it just trickles out. The truth is, medically, it's often understood to mean that he has some type of what they call the vas deferens is cut. That's the tube that ultimately takes the semen from the testicles out, so that it's cut or that it's ruptured in some way that the semen cannot exit the body and affects the urine flow also. What this does is it prevents him from impregnating a woman. If the zera is not yore, if it doesn't come out with some level of force, it could hamper pregnancy. Chazal, the Torah says that a krus shavcha is not permitted to marry a Jewish woman, is not permitted to marry into Kal Hashem. Again, this is a much more involved discussion. This actually has exceptional, fascinating contemporary issues with vasectomies, where this comes out. So again, not our topic for today. We will, in Yirtz Hashem, get to sugya. They're very, very lamaisa sugyas. Quite interesting. So the Gemara says over here that the issue is if a man walks out with droplets on his shoes. So what's the issue? It looks like, again, that maybe he's unable to produce a normal flow of urine. If he's unable to produce a normal flow of urine, then maybe he's a krush shavcha. So you'll say to yourself, so what? I'll tell you why, so what? The Gemara says, El shosi krush shavcha eino molid. The Torah understood that a krush shavcha cannot have children. The yomru albanav she'inam shalom. See, here's the problem. If Reuven walks out with droplets on his shoes, it looks like that he is a krush shavcha. If it looks like he's a krush shavcha, then what happens? The three little kids falling behind him, you know, I realize they really don't look like him. You know, so again, so it's the idea is it's motzi laz on the children. It's motzi laz on the children. God forbid, cast aspersions on the children. And therefore, chazal very much, but the person should not walk out with any kind of urine on his shoes. I'm sorry? It would be a mum for kahuna as well. That is correct. But again, here, this statement is in general. In general, this concept of mitzvah l'shav shev is that in general, a person should be makna. We'll say, understand also, it's obviously different today with the advent of modern plumbing. When a person, people were often, especially for urinating, people, where was your bathroom for urination purposes? Pretty much wherever you could find. Now I'm saying, you know, it wasn't, again, for defecation purposes, people certainly had set areas, but for urinating, so the idea that when one urinates, there could be some level of splashback on one's shoes or on one's sin was a very common issue. So the Gemara says, you see from here that Chazal wanted you not just to go ahead and wash your feet, but they wanted you to rub off any droplets of urine with your hands. Therefore, there's the obligation to go ahead. Therefore, for the Kohen, again, now we'll bring this back to the Beis HaMikdash, Therefore, the Kohen, there's an obligation to go ahead and do Kiddush Naim V'Raglayim any time that he urinates.
When they come up with the Kiyar anyway, when you pour it on the feet, so there's really no need. He's
I'm sorry.
The water from
well,
the
you don't
feet.
Want urine in the cure.
No, not in the cure. The water from
right,
the cure.
But the idea is,
the
no, they want you to wash it off with your eyes. Because remember, the Gemara statement over here is in general statement about how to conduct yourself. So it applies to Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash as well. Says the Gemara, Mesiyah Rabbi Ami, Dar Rabbi Ami, Asr la Adam Sheti Benitzotzo Sharaglov. This supports the view of Rabbi Ami, because Rabbi Ami holds that it is also for a person to go out with droplets of urine on his feet. Mipnei Shenira Kikrus Shavcha. Because he appears like a krus shavcha, and as a result, umotzi laz albanav shehim mamzerim. And a person, God forbid, can cast aspersions about his children that they are mamzerim. You know, I'll say, obviously, it doesn't mean a person can get droplets on their shoes without being a krus shavcha, but the problem just is if one goes out with these droplets, it could create a laz. Laz means just a bad, for lack of a better term, rumor about his children. And again, I'll say, as we'll see in others' mesechtos, we are very careful about any kind of rumors when it comes to yichus, because rumors about yichus could significantly impact people's lives. So Gemara says, "Vayta Amra Pabos." Rabbi said, once the Gemara started talking about this, this kind of opens the door to a couple of other related topics, nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. Amra Papa, Tsoa Bimkoma Asur Likros Kriyashma. Literally, if a person has Tsoa Bimkoma, Rashi says, what is Tsoa? Tsoa is excrement. Bimkoma means what? Rashi says, Bineke Piatabas Asur Zelikros Kriyashma. If one has excrement, literally, by the anus, then one can't go ahead and recite Kriyashma. So Gemara says, what are you talking about? Hechi Dami. Idiniris, if it's visible, then pshita, then of course you can't. Idiloniris, if it's not visible, lodnitna torah lamalachi hasharis. So, you know, it's interesting. The Gemara says, you know, again, a person tries to clean themselves as best as possible, but people are people. What do you want? Lotzricha diyoshev veniris, omeid ve'enoniris. It's the type of situation where when a person is sitting, it would be visible, but when a person is standing, it would not be visible. So therefore, what Rapapa seems to be saying is, if a person has, I guess, for lack of a better term, such an accumulation of excrement by the anus that if he was sitting, it would be visible, you can't say Kriya Shema like that, even though when one is standing, it's not visible. So the Gemara says, but why should this be different if a person than the case of a person who has tzor, than a person who has some level of excrement on his flesh? So the Gemara says, what's the case? The itmar tzoa al besaro. If a person had excrement on his skin, on his body, or he extended his hands into the bathroom. I will say, look at Rashi for just a moment over here. Rashi says, yado besakise. For example, mechitza mafsekes ubeis akise lifnim mea mechitza v'zeh hechnis yadav derech horsheb mechitza. So we'll say, so imagine the following case. So I'm standing, you can even see, like, you know, like how our bathroom, our contemporary bathrooms might not even have the din of a beis akise because modern plumbing removes waste. But so leaving that aside, our bathrooms might be actually a lot more lenient than Talmudic kind bathrooms. But imagine for a moment you're standing outside, you know, there's a window to the bathroom from the outside of the building. So imagine for a moment you're standing outside of the building, but your hands extend into the window. Don't ask why. You know, whatever. Somebody's got free time. See, you know, he's just standing with his hands inside. So his body is outside the bathroom, but his hands are inside. So the Gemara says, Rav Huna Amar, Mutra, the cross Kriya Shema. Rav Huna says, in both of these cases, you can recite Kriya Shema. Rav Huna said, the caveat to this is, with the tzoa on his body, this would only be a case where A, it's covered, and B, there's no smell. There's no smell. So Rav Huna says, as long as there's no smell, and as long as it's covered, and again, in that case, or hands in the bathroom, hands in the Beis HaKiseh, you can still say Shema. Rav Chista says, no, Asr the cross Kriya Shema. Rav Chista says, you may not recite Kriya Shema in such a situation. Look at Rashi. Rav Chista ma Asr. Mishum kol, listen to this. It's actually quite beautiful. Mishum kol atzmo sai tomarna. So interestingly, he quotes the pasuk from Tom that says, David Amel says, kol atzmo sai tomarna Hashem mikamocha. That when I daven, davening is a full body experience, which means what? That my entire body must be in a state that is capable of tefillah. If part of my body is not capable, i.e. my hands are in the bathroom, or there's some excrement on my skin, even though what? It doesn't smell and I can't see it. Nevertheless, Rav Chista says you can't daven. You can't daven. Rashi says, time of mishum klat smosai. Ava mishum zuma hareach lo, v'kashya zuamas hareach lo, v'kashya zuamas hareach lo, v'kashya zuamas hareach lo. So also remember, Rav Huna's idea over here, excuse me, Rav Chista, when he says usser, is not talking about smell, because everybody agrees, we'll say, if there's a smell, you can't daven. What they're talking about over here is you have an existence of a particular reality. The reality is there's tzoa on my flesh. The reality is my hands extend into the bathroom. So Rav Huna says, I don't care about that. As long as there's no smell, it does not compromise your ability to daven. Rav Chista says, to daven, your entire body must be in a state that is capable of tefillah. So the Gemara says, so we'll say either way, it contradicts Rav Papa. So the Gemara says, Rav Papa will say, bimkoma nafish zuhuma. So Rav Papa will say, no, I'll tell you why I hold it my way. Because when there is excrement, bim koma, right, by the anus, then ultimately it increases the zuama. Zuama in this context almost means like a vileness. That there's a certain vileness that the excrement takes on when it's at its source, than it doesn't in any other part of the body. So therefore, Rav Papa says, I stand by my position that lemaisa, if there's an accumulation of excrement by the anus, that we would not be able to recite the Shema. We will say you should know, again, not shalobim koma, I'm sorry, let me finish stuff. Shalobim koma, when it's not in its place, lo nafish zuhuma, then its vileness is not intense. And that's why, again, for example, you would have Rav Huna saying that it's mutter to go ahead and recite Kriya Shema in these previous situations. We will say you should know that, again, lemaisa, where this does come up in halacha lemaisa situations, is when this is lemaisa in situations of where a person has a catheter or a person has like a colostomy bag. So there are situations where you can have accumulations of waste, where again, depending on the circumstance, every case is different, depending on what the mitzvah is, it could impact the person's ability to daven. Okay, so the Gemara goes back. The only reason the Gemara brought this up is because we spoke about the urine droplets. So once the Gemara started speaking about urine droplets, as they affect, let's say, Kiddush Lev Raglaim of the Kohen, the Gemara brought up this other case of accumulation of waste. It happens to be that the Shulchan Aruch Paskin is like Rav Papa, that should one have some accumulation of fecal matter, of excrement by the anus, that Lamai said that would prevent a person from davening. Okay, Tan Rabbanan, Halacha Besuda. And I will say again, so once we started talking about urine, then we went excrement, now we're going to Su'uda. Okay, so the Gemara says the following. So again, there is you could weave this together if you have imagination. So says the Gemara. No, the truth is the real common denominator is just the opinions that are quoted. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Halacha Besuda. There is the Bryce is quoting a Halacha by Su'uda. What's Halacha by Su'uda? Adam Yotzi Lahashtanaim. Here is really the connection. They're talking about different situations of where one relieves oneself, what the halachic implications. So until now, we were speaking about the halachic implications of the Beis HaMikdash. Remember, because we established that, and that is halacha lamaisa. Whenever a kohen urinates, he requires kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. And the reason he requires that is because, again, raglayim, because some of the droplets may have splashed back, and yadayim, because there's a mitzvah to wipe off the droplets with his hands. We then went from there to speak about, again, the impact of waste on tefillah, and now we're speaking about the impact of relieving oneself on a su'udah. So that didn't come out. That didn't come out right. So we're talking about the impact of relieving oneself when one is in the midst of a su'udah. Okay. So I'm gonna have to edit that later on. Yeah. So says the Gemara. By the way, if you want good Purim spiel material, definitely could call from these videos. I definitely see things that don't make a lot of sense. So the Gemara says the point. Tana Rabbanan, halacha b'su'udah. Adam yotzei lahashtin mayim. So the halacha b'su'udah is the following: if a person goes out in the middle of the su'udah to urinate, no tel yodo achos v'nichnas. So Rabbi say all he needs to do when he returns to the su'udah is he needs to wash one hand, because the assumption is that for a person to wipe away any of the droplets, all a person needs is one. Person doesn't use both hands. Person uses one hand. So you go ahead and clean the hand in which you used to go ahead and remove the droplets, and a person could resume the su'udah afterwards. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Mm-hmm. Rashi says, Adam sheyotza mitocha su'udah lahashtin mayim. A person leaves the su'udah to urinate. No tel yada achos osa sheshish sheif panetzotzos. He washes the hand that he used to wipe away the urine droplets. Okay, next. Next, v'nichnas diber im chavero. But if he left the su'udah and he ends up schmoozing with his friend, v'hiflig. Hiflig, Rabosai, means, and now it takes a while, Rashi says, shaha. he was out of the Suda for a while. So Rabbi said this represents an interesting discussion in Hilchos Suda, which is not our topic for today. We'll get to it in Mirat Hashem in probably about 6 years when we come back to Brachos. So the Gemara there discusses the extensive halachos if one interrupts in the middle of a meal. What does one have to do? So now if I exited my meal to speak with my friend and I stood there for a while, then what? No tell Shtrosa. And remember, this is all assuming that one has left the area of the Seuda. So what happens? No tell Shteyadav v'nichnas. Then what do I have to do? I have to wash both of my hands again. Rashi says, no tell Shteyadav. Dechevan sheheflik shah achas oshtayim. Because since I was away for an hour or two, I will say what this means. Hour two doesn't have to literally mean an hour two, but it means a significant amount of time. Hesiach daito misudaso. I removed my das from my meal. Velonishar lishmar yadav vehinaskanios. And therefore, what? I was not careful with my hands. Remember, part of the idea of netilas daim for a suuda is to ensure that one's hands are clean. The idea is if I've been away from my suuda for a while, I'm talking with my friends for an hour or two. And again, it doesn't have to be I left the home, but I left the Suuda, then lemaisa, again, I'm not vigilant with the cleanliness of my hands, and therefore, before I resume the Suuda, what do I have to do? I have to wash both of my hands again. So the Gemara says, v'nichnas, and then I can go back to the Suuda. Listen to this. And when I wash my hands, lo yitol mi bachutz v'yikanes, I shouldn't wash my hands outside, meaning outside the Suuda, and then come back in. Mipnei chashad. Because of a chashad, meaning what's the concern? The concern is that if I just come back in after being gone an hour or so, and then what, just sit down and resume my eating, the other members of the suda don't know that I washed again. So what should I do? Ela nichnas v'yoshet bimkomo. Rather, I sit down. I walk into the suda, sit down in my place. V'notel shtei yadav, and I wash both of my hands. And what happens? U'machzir hatafiach ala orchin. And then I offer the pitcher of water with which I washed my hands to the others. Now look at Rashi. U'machzir hatafiach ala orchin. Halchi garsin alei betosefta debrachos. Tafiach pach sheyotzkin mimenu mayim. So a tafiach is a pitcher which they used to wash their hands from, or which they wish to pour water from. Alei adayim. Machziro ala orchim hamesubin. V'ashamish machziro aleihen. V'omer yeish b'matzarach lito. V'inzos ela lehodiyash knatel zeh sheikhmin sisyadav. So I'll say, what am I supposed to do? I come into my suda. I summon the butler. Because who doesn't have a butler? Right? I summon the butler. I summon the truth is, every suit there was always a shamish. It's kind of like not so different like when you're in yeshiva, there's Toranut, right? Everybody has to take a turn going ahead and, setting up the table, cleaning off the dining room. So when they used to dine together, there was a person. We actually saw this in earlier Gemaras. Even great people served this capacity as the shamish. There was one person who was in charge of taking care of the needs of the meal. So I summon the person who is in charge. I tell him I need a pitcher of water. I wash my hands there in front of everyone. And then the shamish says, does anyone else need to wash? Now, why is this big production being done? So that everyone should know that, again, yes, I was away for a while, but therefore I took the precaution, I took the measures of washing my hands again. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chista, lo Amar Ela Lishtos. This is only true for drinking. Mm-hmm. You know, both say, what does this mean? Look at Rashi. Lo Amran, de lo yitol bachutz, ela she'ino tzarech od le'achol ela lishtos. Who nichnas shahayu regilin laharich lishtos b'shtia achra mazon. So we'll say, when did we say that you could go ahead and look at that Ash once more? When did we say that lo yitol bachutz? When did we say that you should not wash outside? That was only for shtia. That was only for drinking purposes. And we'll say, what does that mean? The way the suda used to work is they would eat, and then when they would finish eating, they would sit around drinking. It could have been, it was wine, it was whatever else, but that was the way their meals were set up, that they would finish eating and they would remain drinking for a while. So when do we say that you should not wash outside, but you should wash inside? That's ultimately when everybody's up to the drinking part of the meal and you're coming back to join them to drink. Because since you may end up going ahead and what? Since you may end up going ahead and eating something, therefore we want you to wash again. However, aval le'achol, no tell me b'chutz. But if you're coming back in to the suda, you've been going for a while, schmoozing with your friend, and now you're coming back to actually eat, in that case, you can even wash outside. Why? Because everyone knows that people are meticulous about washing their hands before they sit down to eat. So we'll say, apparently, the chashad, the suspicion issue that people are going to think that you're sitting down without washing your hands is only by drinking. That's why if you're coming in to resume drinking with the chevra, you have to wash in a very public way in front of everyone else. But if they're still in the middle of eating and you're coming down to resume eating, you could wash even outside. Why? Because everyone knows that you don't sit down to eat without going ahead and washing your hands. I'm sorry, this was for cleanliness purposes. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak va'ana afilu lishtos nami mei deyada yadai da'anina datai. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says, for me, I don't even have to wash for drinking at the table. I could wash for drinking even outside. Why? Because everyone knows that literally da'anina datai, I'm like an istinus. I'm a very fastidious or meticulous person. Everyone knows me, that I wash my hands before anything. So a person like me, even if I were to wash outside, I could still come in and drink, and everyone would know that I had washed beforehand. Good. Says the Mishnah. Ein adam nichnas la'azara la'avoda, afilu tahar achiyitbo. Both say very interesting halacha. The Mishnah now says, a person cannot enter into the azara. The azara is the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash for avoda. Let's read that again. In Adam nichnas la azar la avoda afilu tar atshiyitbo. Look at Rashi la avoda lav dafka. The in Adam nichnas la azar atshiyitbo. The time for Shmi Gemara. We'll say in reality what the Mishnah saying is like this: a person cannot enter into the azara of the Beis Hamikdash without tevila, without immersing in the mikvah. Everybody, now again, the Mishnah Rashi says, you know, the gears of the Mishnah is la avoda. Because remember, truth is, we're focusing over here really on Kohanim doing the avoda. But the truth is, this halacha, that whenever you enter into the Beis HaMikdash, you must immerse in the mikvah, is true for every person. Afilu tar, even a person who's ritually pure, still has to do an immersion in the mikvah. So the Gemara says, Chamish tevilos, va'asar kiddushin tova kohen gadol. Over the course of Yom Kippur, the kohen gadol would immerse himself in the mikvah a total of 5 times, and would do 10 acts of kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. Va'asar kiddushin tova kohen gadol. U'mekadesh bo bayom. The kulon b'kodesh al beis ha'parva. And all of them took place in the kodesh by beis ha'parva. We'll talk about the parva. We already actually alluded to the parva chamber, which was the upstairs, mikvah. So the Gemara says, chutz mizu bilvad, with the exception of this one. Rashi says, chutz mizu harishona, with everything except the first immersion. And obviously the Gemara is going to get more into this. Except for the first immersion, which apparently did not have to take place in the Kodesh in the Beis HaParva, but was able to take place somewhere else. Rashi says, chutz mizu harishona, she'eno ba'achova liyom kippurim, t'ha kol yom anami isa. So also listen to this. The first immersion that the Kohen Gadol did, which we actually spoke about in a previous Mishnah, was not specifically a Yom Kippur immersion. It was a daily immersion. Every single day, the first thing the Kohen Gadol had, any Kohen had to do, was to go to the mikvah. Because that was not a Yom Kippur specific immersion, therefore what? It could take place anywhere, even not in the Kodesh. However, the subsequent 4 tevilos, which were mandated by Yom Kippur, had to take place in the Kodesh. We'll say, what we will discuss is, there were different mikvaos in the temple compound. There were some mikvaos. Remember, we've already established that there are parts of the Har HaBayis that were not consecrated. So there were mikvaos in the non-consecrated part, and there were mikvaos in the consecrated part. What the Mishnah is now telling me is, any tevila that was done for the purpose of Yom Kippur had to go ahead and be done in the Kodesh. Any tevila that was not done for the purpose of Yom Kippur, which was only the first tevila, could be done anywhere. Listen to this. Perasu sadin shalbutz beino lebein aron. This is very interesting. We'll see that the mikvah, the mikvah by the Beis HaParva, remember we already saw was where? Was in an upper story. And interestingly enough, people would gather around the Beis HaParva. So for the Kohen Gadol's modesty, what they would do is they would hold up a sheet by the entrance of the mikvah, because obviously the Kohen Gadol would come out of the mikvah, he'd be unclothed. They would hold up a sheet to protect the modesty of the Kohen Gadol. We'll see that later on. Says the Gemara, Shaluas Benzom. So we'll say we're going to spend, the truth is, the rest of the daf trying to figure out this immersion. Like the Mishnah stated a principle that whenever you come to the Azara, whenever you come to the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, you must immerse yourself in the mikvah. So the Gemara says, Shalu es ben Zoma, tevila zu lama. So they asked Ben Zoma, tell me, why? Why? What is the nature of this tevila? Amar lahem, so listen to what Ben Zoma said. Uma hamishana mikodesh lakodesh. So if a person who switches from one area of the Kodesh to another area of the Kodesh, or from one area that is punishable like Karis to another area that's punishable like Karis, Ta'un Tevila. And I will say, what is Ben Zomer referring to over here? He's referring to Yom Kippur. What happens on Yom Kippur? Right, on Yom Kippur, you go from Kodesh to Kodesh. Remember, the Kohen Gadol goes Kodesh. What's the Kodesh is the Kodesh, the area, let's say what we call the Beis HaMikdash. This was the Kodesh is the area, when you entered into the Ulam, inside the actual structure of the Beis HaMikdash, that was where the menorah was, the Shulchan was, the Ketores Mizbeach was. So the Kohen, when he would go from Kodesh to Kodesh, referring to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which he would go in on Yom Kippur, he would have to go ahead and go to the mikvah. And remember, entry into both of those places by unauthorized personnel was subject to Kares. So now, says Ben Zoma, if when you go from a Makom Kodesh to a Makom Kodesh, from a Makom that is punishable by Kares to a Makom that is punishable by Kares, you need Tevila in a mikvah, then what? HaMeshana Mechol LeKodesh. So Ben Zoma says, if you require Tevila from Kodesh to Kodesh, from Karis to Karis, then all the more so what? When the Kohen Gadol, or when anyone is coming from their home, which is Chol, into a place of Kodesh, or when they're coming from their home, which is a place that is not punishable by Karis, to a place that is punishable by Karis. When we speak about punishable by Karis, what that means is if you enter into any of these areas, either if you're unauthorized, like a Yisrael, or you bless you, or you're a Kohen and you're Tamei, it's punishable by Karis. So Ben Zoma says, if from Kodesh to Kodesh, Karis to Karis requires Tevila, then of course what? Chol to Kodesh and Chol to Karis, of course, requires Tevila. So Rabbi said, this is very important, because what Ben Zoma is saying is, Ben Zoma is saying essentially, it's a Kal v'chomer. And Rabbi said, you have to understand something. When you make something a Kal v'chomer, what that does is it vests it with the power of a Doraisa. Because remember, Kal v'chomer is one of the exegetical principles by which we learn Torah Sheba'al Peh. Principles learned out from Torah Sheba'al Peh are biblical principles as well. So Ben Zoma actually posits that this obligation to go ahead and do the Tevila when you arrive at the Beis HaMikdash is actually of a biblical obligation. Biblical obligation. Fine. So he goes weiter. So the Gemara says, that's Ben Zoma's pshat. Rabbi Yehuda says, nope. Srach tevilahi. Rabbi Yehuda says, it's srach tevilahi. Now I will say, srach literally means a reminder. It's a reminder tevila. What does that mean? So Rabbi Yehuda has an interesting shita. Rabbi Yehuda says, you know why we make you go to the mikvah when you come to the Beis HaMikdash? Because making you go to the mikvah does what? It reminds you that you have to be tahor. Why is it good to have a reminder that you have to be tahor? Just in case that what? We'll say sometimes people become tummy. You have to understand something. If I'm at home and I live in, where do I want to live? What? No, chas v'shalom. No, first of all, no way. But let's. I'm in Eretz Yisrael, right? I live in Modi'in. I live in Modi'in. So what happens if I'm living in Modi'in, assuming I'm not a Kohen? The truth is, if I become tamei, there's not necessarily an urgency for me to remedy that situation immediately. I just have to take care of it before when, before I go to Yerushalayim, before the next regel. So what could happen? What could happen? I forget about it. So says Rabbi Yehuda, you know why we institute a tevila upon arrival at the Beis HaMikdash? Because now when I have to go to the mikvah, when I get to the Beis HaMikdash, you know what that reminds me of? That gets me thinking. That gets me thinking. Were there other circumstances of tumah that perhaps I did not properly remedy? So Rabbi Yehuda says, there's no real obligation. It's what we call a reminder tevila. We want you to go to the mikvah. That gets the wheels turning. Is there any previous state of tumah? And I also remember this is very important because there might be previous states of tumah that immersion in the mikvah will not necessarily remedy. It could be that I remember, you know what? I went to a levaya, tumas meis. Tumas meis requires para aduma, which means now I realize, okay, I got to go ahead and take care of this before I actually enter into the Beis HaMikdash proper. Look at Rashi. Srach tevilahi, ein kan chova min haTorah. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Ben Zoma. Ben Zoma, this is not a biblical obligation. Ela l'srach, this is just a reminder. V'litpos v'shein tevila, kedei la'alos aleiv shein tevila ela l'tmein, v'loseis l'libo im yesh tuma alav. It's just there to jog my memory if I have any previous tumas on me. The yiskor tuma yishara shi'eshalav v'shachacha v'yifrosh milavo la'azara hayom Again, remember, this could take a number of different ways. For example, it could be that as I'm getting ready to go to Mikra, I realize, you know what? I had this type of tumah, that type of tumah. Remember, I touched the sheretz. If I touched the sheretz, good news is what? How do you remedy sheretz tumah? You go to the mikvah, but harif shemesh. Right. So now I realize all I need to do is go into the mikvah and just wait until, okay, I can't go into the Beis HaMikdash today. I'll have to wait until nightfall. So I'll say, fundamental machlokes in Rabbi Yehuda ben Zoma. Ben Zoma says it's a biblical immersion that's learned from a Kabbalah Chomer. But Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's a rabbinic immersion just to remind you about any previous dates of Tumah that perhaps you may have forgotten. Right now the Mishnah is not talking about Lavdavka, the Kohen Gadol. It's correct. Once you're gonna legislate it for everybody. Mm-hmm. That's the idea. That's why, remember again, the Mishnah's phrase was Ein Adam. So this is everybody, but correct, ultimately the Kohen Gadol will be included with this. So the Gemara says, but my come if we what's the fundamental machlokis? So of course we'll say the fundamental machlokis is what's the nature of the tefillah, but what one's really asking over here is like what's the ramifications of this machlokis? So the Gemara says, but my come if we I'll tell you why, listen to this. Ba'achuli avoda come if we you know what you're arguing about, we'll say? What happens lemaisa if you did not go to the mikvah? Let's say a Kohen, right? We'll call him what are you going to name him? Elazar the Kohen rolls out of bed in the morning. Not rolls out of bed. He's a Kohen. He levitates out of bed. Right? He gets out of bed in the morning and he shows up for work. He shows up for the waste finish and he doesn't go to the mikvah first. Again, he's not tummy. But he didn't go to the mikvah first. Then the shayla is what? The shayla is, what's the nature of his avoda? Let's say Elazar Kohen, he offered the carbon tummy. But he didn't go to the mikvah. So what happens? So the Gemara says, Leben Zoma, Mechal Avod. According to Ben Zoma, Rabosa, if you did not go to the mikvah prior to the Avodah, then what? You've compromised the Avodah. Why? Because according to Ben Zoma, there's a biblical obligation for the Kohen to go to the mikvah before assuming the Avodah in the morning. So if you did not do it, Mechal means you made a chulin. You have compromised the Avodah. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, lo meichal avoda. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, this whole idea is what? This is a reminder immersion. Okay, so if you didn't do it, we're gonna remind you, please make sure to do it next time. But lemaisa again, you didn't compromise the avoda. So the Gemara says, that's true, leben zoma mi meichal. Is that true that according to Ben Zoma, if you didn't do this immersion, you would invalidate the avoda? Vatani, we learn, kohen gadol shalo taval, velo kiddush, bein beged lebeged, ubein avoda laavoda, avoda sekshira. But yet we learn in the Raisa that what? That a kohen gadol, who did not go ahead and immerse himself, or did not do kiddushin v'raglayim, between changing from one garment to another, one avoda to another, his avoda is kosher. Rabbi said, what this would seem to indicate, this makes most sense, let's say, on Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol is changing clothing a couple of times throughout the day. So you have an explicit brisa that says what? That lemaisa, if the Kohen Gadol did not do one of these tevilos, between clothing changes or between avodos, the avodas kasher, which would seem to indicate that what? That lemaisa, any tevila that is not needed for real tumah is not ma'akef. That at the end of the day, as much as you need it, if you didn't do it, as long as you were ritually pure, as long as you are really tar, if you didn't do the tevila, you're okay. So what do you see from here? That even according to Ben Zoma, if our Elazar HaKohen skipped his morning tevila, he should not compromise the avoda. However, again, well, let's finish off the brisa. However, echad kohen gadol ve'echad kohen hedyot shelo kiddush yadav v'raglav shachris ve'avad avoda avodas psula. We'll say, on the other hand, if the kohen skipped the sanctification of the hands and the feet first thing in the morning, that would compromise the avoda. Now, for our purposes, we don't care about that right now. What we do care about is a brisa that says that if a kohen skipped an immersion that is not there to remedy tumah, but is there just for sanctification purposes, it doesn't compromise the avoda. If that's the case, then even Ben Zoma would agree that what? That lamaisa, if Elazar the Kohen skipped the tevila in the morning, the avoda should still be good. So therefore, really at the end of the day, both Ben Zoma and Rabbi Yehuda would agree that lamaisa, if the Kohen skipped the morning tevila, again, this is assuming that he is tahor, assuming that he's tahor, skipped the morning tevila, the avoda would be good. So what's the nafkamina? Rather, what they argue about is the following. In the event that the Kohen skipped the tevila, has he violated anything? Has he violated a positive commandment? According to Ben Zoma, Thus, according to Ben Zoma, if a kohen skips the morning tevilah, he has in fact violated a positive commandment. Look at Rashi. The Ben Zoma koyle ba'asei mikab b'chomer. The kohen gadol sha'over ba'asei kidichsev v'rochas es bisaro ba'mayim. Once Ben Zoma learns out that this tevilah is a deoraisa from a kab b'chomer, then lemaisa, what he does is he says, the Torah says, the Torah says in general by the Kohen that the Kohen will go ahead, as by Achrimos, the Torah will go ahead and wash his flesh in water. So Ben Zoma says, because this is a Doraisa, if you did not do it, you're in violation of an Aseh. Now, what's the ramification for violating an Aseh? Nothing down here, but at the end of the day, you still violated an Aseh. So the Gemara says, but however, according to Rabbi Huda lo kaiv aseh. According to Rabbi Huda, of course, who doesn't hold this biblical, Rabbi Huda holds this whole thing is rabbinic, then lemaisa again, there's no violation of an aseh. So the Gemara says the following, Umi isli Rabbi Huda hai svara. Does Rabbi Huda really hold of this idea? And we'll say that Rashi says, demas nisin shikol nechmas lazar tzrichin tevila. Does Rabbi Huda hold of this whole concept that someone who enters into the Azara requires tevila? After all, the Hatanya, we'll say, listen to this. We learned, Mitzora Tovel va'omed b'shar nikanor. A mitzora goes to the mikvah. I will say, remember, a mitzora has a 7-day purification process. So now what this price is talking about is on day 8. So on day 8, the mitzora goes to the mikvah and stands by shar nikanor. We saw shar nikanor earlier. Shar nikanor is one of the gates into the Azara. He stands by shar nikanor. Look at Rashi. Mitzora b'shmini shalom. This is now on the 8th day. Here's what the Bryce is saying. And even though now the Mitzorah has gone to the mikvah on day 7, he's now standing by the basement dish and is going to Tovel again on day 8. Now remember, why is he standing by the entrance gate to the Azara? Because remember, how does the Mitzorah become Tahar? There's a blood application, remember, on his thumbs. Right, on his thumbs, on his big toe, on his ear. So again, he has to stand by the entranceway there of the Azara, and the Kohen who's standing in the Kodesh applies the blood to the Mitzora. So I'll say, but the idea of here, what is the Raisa saying? On day 8, he has to go to the mikvah again. Now watch this. Rabbi Huda says, no. Eino tzarach tevila. He does not have to immerse again on day 8. Why? Shekvar tovel mi ba'erev. Why doesn't he have to tovel on day 8? Why, Rabbi say? Why? Because he went to the mikvah on day 7. So what do you see from here, Abosai? What do you see from here? Now, again, remember, I would have said, based on the Mishnah, there's another reason why the Mitzorah has to be Tovel on day 8, which is why? Because anyone who comes to the Beis HaMikdash has to go to the mikvah. Now, the fact that Rabbi Huda says he doesn't have to go to the mikvah again because he did Tevilah on day 7 indicates that what? That right. Rabbi Huda does not subscribe to this idea. So the Gemara says, no. Not a kasha. Hahu kidetani taima shekvar tabal mi ba'erev. No. This case is different. Why is this case different? Because here the Bryce explicitly says, Rabbi Huda does agree that what? That if you stam show up at the Beis HaMikdash, what do you have to do? You have to go to the mikvah. Why is this case different? Why? Because the Bryce has said he went to the mikvah the day before. Leave the guy alone. Meaning he's tar. He already took care of his ritual purity. So Gemara says, well, if that's the case, Udikarile, my car then. Here's what's interesting. So the Gemara says, obviously, someone's trying to set up Rabbi Huda for a kasha. Right? Because remember, what the Gemara says, Rabbi Huda is on Amud Aleph as saying that the immersion for the mikvah in the mikvah is a srach truma. Now, somebody's setting him up and saying, oh, does Rabbi Huda really require this tevila at all? And they bring this braisa. So obviously, the questioner, what was he thinking? Meaning, why did he bring this braisa as a kasha? The Bryce is not a kasha, it's explicit, because here you have a different kind of case. The Mitzorah is going to the mikvah on day 7. So the Gemara now, this is interesting, we'll say, the Gemara is asking a kasha on the questioner. So the questioner tried to bring up a question on Rabbi Huda, what were you thinking bringing this Bryce up? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you what. Because really the questioner brought up this braisa because they wanted to bring a second braisa to contradict the first braisa. So once I follow this train of thought, right now bringing up the first braisa is not a kasha in Rabbi Huda, but this was a setup. It's very exciting. This was a setup, right? So the questioner brought the first braisa, which he knew wasn't really a kasha in Rabbi Huda. Oh, but it was. This is like leading the witness, right? You guys could be getting excited about this.
Permitted. Examination. Right.
Good. Okay, good. So the questioner is setting up, quoting a leading braisa that we know is not really a kasha, Rabbi Yehuda, only to bring up a second braisa that is going to be a kasha. What's the second braisa? Listen to this. So what's the second braisa? The Kabbalah Mimachrisi Ale. What does the second braisa say? Lishkas Hamitzoroin. So also remember, there was a chamber of the Mitzoron. Remember again, this was, if you remember again, in the outer courtyard that they called the Ezras Noshim, there were four different chambers. We learned about them. One of these chambers was the Lishkas Mitzoraim, the chambers of the Mitzoraim. Or they do in the chamber of the Mitzoraim, Shisham Mitzoraim Tovim. I will say, interestingly enough, remember, that part of the Beis HaMikdash was not Kadosh, it was not sanctified. So Mitzoraim would come in there, and in that chamber they had a mikvah. And what would they do in that mikvah? Well, that didn't make sense. I'm sorry. Right? What else do you do in a mikvah? Right? Besides, you know, mikvah volleyball. Right? So they went. They immersed in that mikvah. So like the mitzvahs show up. They immerse in their mikvah. Oh, Rabbi Huda Omer lo mitzvah in bilvad amru ella kol adam. Rabbi Huda said, no. It was not just mitzvahs who immersed in there. Rather, what? Everybody was obligated to immerse in there. Rabbi said, look at Rashi. Rashi says, Shesham Mitzoran Tovlin, Bishol Shemachnisin Bahonosin La'azara. So remember, the Mitzorayin have to immerse themselves. Why? Because they stick in there, they stick in their big toe and their thumb into the Kodesh. And look at Rashi. Elo kol Adam Hanichnas La'azara. Midika Amar Bilvad Michlal de Islay Tevila B'Mitzorah. Well, so now listen to this. Now, what does Rabbi Huda say in this price? Rabbi Huda says, oh, and it's not just the Mitzorayin who immersed themselves in this mikvah, but rather, who else used this mikvah? Amen. Apparently, this was the mikvah that any person who was coming into the Azara, any person who was coming into the Kodesh, the Beis HaMikdash, would immerse in this same mikvah. What do we have now? We have a contradiction. Brisa number one said, what did Rabbi Huda say about the Mitzorah? In Brisa number one, Rabbi Huda says the Mitzorah doesn't need tevila. Why not? Because he immersed the day before. Right? In Brisa number two, what does Rabbi Huda say? Not only does the Mitzorah need to immerse, but everybody needs to immerse coming to the Beis HaMikdash. What's going on over here? Major Mitzorah. So remember, what we have over here is a fundamental contradiction, Rabbi Huda, by the Mitzorah. Price number one says, Rabbi Huda says, no immersion necessary because you're immersed on day seven. Price number two says, of course you need an immersion. So what's going on over here? So the Gemara says, lo kasha, it's not a contradiction. Had de tavil, had de lo tavil. It's not a contradiction. In Brisa number one is where what? The Mitzorah went to the mikvah on day number seven. Okay, and therefore again, Rabbi Huda says this, he doesn't have to reimmerse on day number eight. Brisa number two is what? He didn't go to the mikvah on day number seven, and therefore what? He has to immerse on day number eight. No. E de lo tavil, hair of Shemesh boy. Rabbi Huda say, remember, when a Mitzorah goes to the mikvah, it's not just immersion. What does he need? He needs immersion, and then what? He needs to do immersion before nightfall. And then nightfall, it's only nightfall that completes his purification process, which means that if the Mitzorah did not go to the mikvah on day number seven and is now going number eight, therefore what? He can become Torah when? Day nine. But day eight, he can't do anything. And that can't be because remember, I will say, the way we're setting this up is what is the Mitzorah showing up for? The Mitzorah is showing up on day number eight for the blood application. Blood application means he's ready to go. If he's immersing for the first time on day number eight, he is not ready to go. Umar says, you're right. Rather, it has to be both Bryce number one and Bryce number two are both talking about where indeed he did go to the mikvah. All right, so one second. If that's the case, then Lemaisa, again, Rabbi said, if he went to the mikvah on in Bryce number one, Bryce number two, then why Bryce number two is he obligated to go back to the mikvah again? Oh, I'll tell you the difference. Rabbi say, one is where he had a lapse in concentration. One is where he didn't have a lapse of awareness. One is where he didn't have a lapse in awareness. Look at Rashi. Asich daite mishmiras gufo. He had a lapse of awareness of watching over the purity of his body. In that case, tzarech hazah shema nichnas lo. So the Gemara is making this suggestion. Brisa number one. Is where after he went to the mikvah on day number seven, he remained vigilant about maintaining his state of purity. And therefore, again, in that case, come day number eight, he need not what? Immerse again. Brisa number two that says he has to immerse again is where what? He did go to the mikvah on day number seven. What happened? He didn't concentrate. He had a lapse of awareness. He wasn't vigilant about maintaining his purity. Oh, therefore he has to go ahead and go to the mikvah again on day number 8. Says the Gemara, no way. If that's the case, I asach daite hazaz shlishi ushevi'i boy. Listen to this. If he had a lapse of awareness and he mamsh doesn't even know, he wasn't vigilant about maintaining his ritual purity, then what? Maybe he came in contact with the corpse. If he came in contact with the corpse, then what, Rabbi Osai? He requires 7 more days of purification. Rabbi Osai, whether the Gemara is saying that literally or not, what the Gemara is ultimately saying is, if you think that you could just remedy a lapse of ritual purity awareness by just going to the mikveh again, that is not the case. Because once he is moda, that he has not been vigilant in maintaining his purity awareness, then we have to plan for all eventualities, including Tumas Meis, which means forget about day 8, it's going to be another 7 days until he can become purified. To which the Gemara says, Hazosh lishubi ushrid by Dom Rabbi Dostoy bar Masu Am Rabbi Yochanan. That if a person has a lapse, if this is talking about a person who has cleansed himself for a ritual purity, and a person has a lapse of ritual purity awareness, you have to assume the worst, and maybe he became Tomei Tumas Meis, and therefore requires another 7 days of purification with sprinklings of the Isha Efer Apar Duman 3 and 7. Okay, so that's not going to work. Okay, so we'll say, here's how we're going to go. Ready? Follow this. Both Bryson number 1 and Bryson number 2 are both where what? He went to the mikvah on day number 7. Okay? And both Bryson number 1 and Bryson number 2 are what? He did not have a hesech hadas. He did not have a lapse of awareness. Aye, velo kasha. Ha de tavil adas bias mikdash. Ha de lo tavil adas bias mikdash. Okay? So what's the case of both sides? It's interesting. So apparently, everybody's going to agree that what do you need? You need at some point in due time to do an immersion for the purpose of entering into the Beis HaMikdash. But here's the chap. The immersion that you do for Tzara'as on day number 7 can satisfy both of those criteria. So when the Mesorah goes to the mikvah on day number 7, he can have in mind that what? That I'm doing this both for the purpose of my Tzara'as as well as for what? As well as for the purpose of entering into the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara makes the following suggestion. Price number 1 that says that when he immersed on day number 7, he doesn't have to be immersed on day number 8. It's talking about where what? When he went to Mikvah on day number 7. He had a mind for both immersions. Both immersions. Price number 2, Rabbi Huda says he has to go to the Mikvah again on day number 8 is where what? On day 7, he immersed for Tzara'as, but he didn't immerse for Beis HaMikdash. In which case, again, he must now re-immerse for the purpose of entering into the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so I'll say that's good. That's solid. So the Gemara says, Vibai Sema, I'll give you another possibility. Vibai Sema, Tani Lo Mitzara'in Amru, Ela Kaladim. We'll say the second possibility is that amend the second brisa, and don't read the second brisa as talking about mitzorayim, but rather just amend the second brisa just to be referring to what? Everyone else. Kol adam. Take out mitzorayim. And Rabbi Hud is just saying that really everybody should go to the mikvah before entering into the azara, which is in line with what Rabbi Hud said earlier. Ravina, Amar Rabbi Hud, the divrei d'rabbana kamar lehu. In reality, in that price, so what Rabbi Huda is really saying is according to the Rabbana, according to Tanakhama, what is he saying? Lididi mitzora in tzarich tefila. Rabbi Huda says, according to me, according to my position, I believe that a mitzora doesn't require tefila. Why? Because Rabbi Huda did on day number 7 already. So, and that's in line with price number 1. Remember, now the Gemara is giving, Ravina is giving another way to interpret or to understand the contradiction between Brysos 1 and 2. So in Brysos 1, Rabbi Huda spouts this sheep, which is, then Matzor need not immerse again on day number 7. Why? On day number 8? Because he already immersed on day number 7. In Bryce number 2, Rabbi Huda is talking to the Rabbana. He says, Rabbana, listen to this. According to me, I don't think you should have to, Matzor on day 8 shouldn't have to immerse at all. However, Ledidach, at least according to you, Odili Izi Mihas, Dilo Mitzorayin Bilva Damru, Ela Kol Adam. So Rabbi Huda is according to you, Rabbana, however, if you're going to require immersion for a Matzor on day number 8, then the truth is you should say, it's not just the mitzvah that should require an immersion, it's who? It's everybody. Because why? Because Rabbi Huda's thing is like this. Rabbanon, if you are going to go ahead and require an immersion for a mitzvah on day number 8, that's not because of Tumah. What is that because of? That's because of coming to the Mikdash. So if that's the case, you should legislate that tevilah for everybody. And the Rabbanon will respond, Rabbanon, mitzvah daish bitumah, kol adam lo daishi bitumah. The Rabbanon will say, no, there's a difference. Because the mitzorah, literally, da'ish b'tumah rabosai, literally means he's immersed in tumah. Meaning a mitzorah is somebody who already is Rugil in Tuma. And Rashi points out Daish Batuma also Tuma. Vahurgal at Akshav Liga Batuma. Lefiha Khubashash Tumas Shema Akar Tvila Naga. We'll say because the Mitzvah was living in the world of Tuma for the last X number of days, he's accustomed to living in Tuma, and therefore there's a fear about his vigilance of Tara. Therefore, we're going to make him do another tevila before he enters into the Beis HaMikdash, even though he did one on day number 7. But regular people are not dayish betuma. Therefore, there is no need to require another tevila for them when they come to the Mikdash. Amalei Abayi de Rav Yosef, Neimar Rabbanan de Pligi Alei de Rav Yehuda, the Keben Zoma Sevir Lehu. Can we say, says Abayi de Rav Yosef, could we see that the rabbis who argue in Rabbi Yehuda hold like Ben Zoma? Rabbi said, now, this is exciting, because now what's happening? Our worlds are colliding. Why are worlds colliding? Because remember how this all started. This all started by the Mishnah telling us that when you come to the Beis HaMikdash, you have to do another tevila. Machlokis Rabbi Huda and Ben Zoma as to why you need a tevila. Ben Zoma said, why? Doraisa. Rabbi Huda, Srach, said the Rabbanan. Oh, so now remember what we did. Then we transitioned from there to Machlokis between Rabbi Huda and the Rabbanan by Mitzora. And we had two different brisos. And right, Rabbi Huda seems to say that what? As long as the Mitzvah goes to the mikvah on day number 7, he need not immerse again on day number 8. Which we'll say is Rabbi Huda l'shitasa. Why? Because Rabbi Huda says the whole din of going to the mikvah prior to coming into the Beis HaMikdash is what? Is a drabban, is a srach. And therefore what? If the Mitzvah already immersed on day 7, there's no need to what? There's no need to legislate another rabbinic immersion for him on day number 8. And now, so the Gemara is going to make the assumption, okay, so therefore we'd have to assume that the rabbis who do legislate another immersion in the mikvah for the Mitzvah on day number 8 must hold like what? Must hold like Ben Zoma. Must hold that whenever you come to the Beis HaMikdash, there is a biblical obligation to immerse in the mikvah again. So we'll say now we have Rabbi Huda l'shitaso, and we assume that Rabbanan hold like Ben Zoma. To which the Gemara says, no. Oh, so I'm sorry. Vahaydi. Let me read that again. Neimar Rabbanan de pligalei Rabbi Huda Ben Zoma svir lehu. And the only reason why in the Braisa the rabbis and Rabbi Huda dispute the case of Mitzora is to show you the strength of Rabbi Huda's opinion. That even in a case of a Mitzora who was already Tameh, Rabbi Huda does not require him to immerse again on day number 8. O Dilma, or maybe, Shiny Mitzora the Daish Betuma. Or maybe on the other hand, no. The rabbis don't hold like Ben Zoma. They don't hold that Lemaisa. That Lemaisa, there's a biblical obligation to immerse in the mikvah prior to coming to the mikdash. So why do they require a mitzora to immerse again on day 8? Because as we said before, he's dayish betumah. Here's a person who's been living in the world of tumah for all of these days. We're concerned that even though he immersed on day 7, maybe he's not going to be vigilant with maintaining his ritual purity between day 7 and his entry to the Beis HaMikdash on day 8, and therefore make him tovel again. Amarlei, to which they answer, shiny mitzora to dayish betumah. Emachinami. The Rabbanan don't agree with Ben Zoma. It could be, this is the interesting part, it could be that in terms of the Tevila into the Beis HaMikdash, everybody agrees with Rabbi Yehuda, which Rabbi says, how the Rambam paskins as well, which is there is an obligation of going to the mikvah prior to entering into the Beis HaMikdash, but not like Ben Zoma. It's not a biblical obligation. It's like Rabbi Yehuda. It is a rabbinic obligation. It's a rabbinic obligation specifically to jog your memory as to any old tumah that you may have not rectified. So in essence, the Rabbanan agree with Rabbi, everybody agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that immersion in a mikvah prior to entry into the Beis HaMikdash is the Rabbanan. So why do the rabbis obligate the Mitzora to immerse again on day 8 if he already immersed on day 7? Why? Shiny Mitzora, the Daesh Betuma. Because since the Mitzora has lived out the last X number of days in a state of Tuma, and he has dafka not been vigilant with Tuma or with Tara because he's been Tameh the entire time, we want him to take extra measures to ensure that when he enters his thumbs and his big toes into the Beis HaMikdash, that what? That is going to be Tar, and therefore, he must immerse again on day number 8. So what you'd have to say is the fact that he knows that he's going to have to do an additional tevila in and of itself makes him be more vigilant. In fact, it's for him. The tefillah itself would remedy if he touched a sheres or something like that. Correct. But I think it's more the mindset to tell him psychologically. Just like you have to go to the mikvah again. You know what that tells you? Keep your state of tumah. Be vigilant. Excuse me. Keep your state of tara. Be vigilant about your tara.
Now we know the origin of double dip.
I'm sorry. I know. I know. I know. I'll have to. I'm sorry. I think you're done. I'll give you a touch. The next time you have a short half, we'll do it.